Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network for hour number two of our show. I always enjoy Sir James Galway and the so-called Man with the Magic Flute, his rendition of Shenandoah, which always opens this broadcast in both of its hours on Sunday morning. We are joined today by a real heavyweight, folks, in the area of Middle Eastern foreign policy and espionage and intelligence intrigue in that part of the world, Dr. Paul Foote. He is a professor of accounting at California State University in Fullerton, has his bachelor's degree from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, his MBA from Harvard, his PhD from Michigan State University. We are posting links to all of his websites for the show description for this broadcast. And we've been talking with him in the last hour about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq and their history. Here in hour number two, as we continue that conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about American neoconservatism. Dr. Foote, who are these people? You have referred to them as Trotskyites. You're not the only person who has referred to them with that descriptive tone and with that verbiage. Who are these people? What is their ideological base and set of presuppositions? What are they doing to the foreign policy of this country, in your view?
Well, they are called neo-Trotskyites for good reason. The founders of the neoconservative movement were admirers of Trotsky. And for anyone who has studied communist history, they'll understand what that means, which is Lenin came to power in Russia on the slogan, peace at any price. And once he got in power, a few years later, they found the Soviet army fighting against the Polish army. And all the communists in the Soviet Union believed that that war would be over very quickly and the Soviets would win because, according to Marxist theory, the workers would not support the bourgeoisie of Poland and would fight alongside the Soviet army. Well, that didn't happen. And so Stalin and Lenin realized that Marx was an idiot and his assumptions about human nature were wrong, but Trotsky didn't. Trotsky's view was you cannot have communism unless every country in the world is communist, and the answer is endless wars. If you simply take endless wars or the exportation of democracy and put it in the old wine and a new label and call it neoconservative, you have the neoconservatives. Now, the neoconservatives started off in the Democratic Party. They moved, even though they were communists, they moved first in the Democratic Party because they realized they had to do something to get in power in this country. And it's noteworthy that when they started an organization in England, they called it the Henry Jackson Society, who was a Democratic senator. And the man who worked on his staff for many, many years is Richard Perle, a registered Democrat. Unfortunately, most of the mainstream media likes to claim that the neoconservatives are all Republicans, which is very far from the truth. But unfortunately, the Republicans were duped also because the neoconservatives went to President Reagan and said, we can help you bring down the Soviet Union. Now, that left Republicans who weren't paying attention thinking, oh, if they're against the Soviet Union, then that means they must be anti-communist. No, they're anti-Stalin.
When we come back with Dr. Foote, we'll pick it up right there for an extended discussion of this subject at Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tune in after the break for a discussion of neoconservatism with Dr. Foote, as well as his conversations about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq. We'll be right back.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined both in Hour 1 as well as currently in Hour 2 by Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote, Professor of Accounting at Cal State Fullerton. We have been talking about a Middle Eastern organization, Middle East-based organization called the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, the MEK, sometimes known as the MKO. Who are these people? What is their history? What is their ideology? Who are Massoud and Miriam Rajavi? Why are they currently being given asylum in France based upon what we've been talking about this morning? All these are questions which will continue to be asked, of course, but Dr. Foote is providing us with incredible political and historical and ideological information about this group and the very curious paradox as to why the American Pentagon and the Israeli intelligence community are now using this organization. Dr. Foote, we were talking about neoconservatism and its implications and its roots and its history. Take it from where you left off.
Well, as I was mentioning, the reason the neoconservatives were able to move also into the Republican Party, I think of it as a cancer that's moved throughout the body, but unfortunately, Republicans were stupid enough to be duped by communists. They moved in because they went to Reagan and said, we'll help you bring down the Soviet Union. And conservatives thought, oh, they must be anti-communist. Well, not true. They were anti-Stalin. Stalin is the one who killed Trotsky, and his people are the ones who remained in power in the Soviet Union after his death. And so the Trotskyites are anything but anti-communist. They only changed their label. Instead of talking about endless wars to advance communism, it's endless wars to advance what they call democracy. They have been a terrible influence in American politics. You alluded to Rabbi Zucker earlier. He's one of many who use 501c3 organizations. Your listeners need to be aware of this, that unfortunately we have in this country now more than 1.7 million public charities that are tax deductible. Another one that is a major supporter of the MEK is the Iran Policy Committee, headed by Professor Raymond Tanter, and employs former military officers and did employ a former CIA lady for a while. These organizations are not required to disclose the sources of their money. If your listeners go to a website called GuideStar.org, they can look up and see how much money was received by these organizations and where they spent it, but they don't have to show where any of it came from. When I ran for state assembly, I had to show all contributions above $100 by name.
Well, I think it's noteworthy, Dr. Foote, that John Hagee, right, of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, Texas, clearly with the closest possible links to the Israeli government and the Israeli intelligence community, the Anti-Defamation League, the neocons, and so forth and so on. The Wall Street Journal attempted to find several years ago the sources of Hagee's income, this multimillion-dollar political and religious empire that he has going, and they were unable to do it precisely because, apparently, of these 501c3 restrictions on public disclosure.
Well, that's exactly correct, and so you don't know if the money is coming from the federal government, from foreign governments, anywhere. All they have to do is show in their Form 990 the total amount received. And people like Hagee, I mean, Hagee has been an unbelievable beater of war drums against Iran and supporters of Christian Zionist ideas. But he doesn't have to show his sources of money.
Yes, and presumably when you're talking about the amount of money involved in Hagee's empire, I believe it was the American Free Press which published a figure that in terms of Hagee, not just Cornerstone Church, but this incredible tentacle of 501c3 organizations that he has, kind of a spider-filled web, and many of these, of course, have an obvious, overt, pro-Israel, pro-Zionist, pro-war political agenda attached to them, that, again, it seems rather incredible that that these American media outlets and the average American citizen are not allowed to know where his sources of income are coming from, and how many of these have links to foreign governments, potentially foreign intelligence organizations, and from individuals who have these links.
I'll give you another Texas case, the Holy Land Foundation. If anyone tries to create a 501c3 organization to help orphans or anyone else in the Middle East, you're probably going to end up in jail. Like the poor Holy Land Foundation, you're going to be accused of the money is going to go to terrorists, as defined by the American government, when in fact we are the major supporter of terrorists, such as the MEK and Jundella.
Yes, and, you know, presumably this is something, as long as we're talking about this, then I'm going to get back into this business of this Rabbi Zucker and your own understanding is to how people like Zucker fit into this neocon network. But presumably, I would think that Congress ought to be taking a much closer look at truthful disclosure when it comes to sources of funding for some of these types of 501c3 organizations. I know from a cynical point of view that many of us believe that they will never do that, for all kinds of reasons, up to and including the fact that when you look, for example, at Hagee's organizations with the very strong pro-Zionist, pro-Israel orientation that accrues to these groups, And frankly, with the amount of Israeli PAC money that's going into our Congress, we probably will never see legislation introduced that goes anywhere in the United States Congress that says, hey, the American public and the American consumer and the American media outlets do have a right to this information.
Well, the members of Congress are benefiting from think tanks supporting them or other organizations promoting them, and they don't have to reveal their sources. That means you won't have any more embarrassments like Al Gore did when he visited a Buddhist group, for example, and or Clinton with his Charlie Tree and others getting support from Communist China. Those are embarrassing moments, but with a 501c3, you can avoid those embarrassing moments.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, and clearly this has all kinds of implications. Back to this thing of Rabbi Daniel Zucker, I read his rather virulent, in my view, personally directed attack on you, Dr. Foote, and that's how I became a little bit more acquainted with your work and what you were doing. To what extent is it fair, and I know that it's something that Murray Friedman talks about in a book that he wrote that has been reviewed in Culture Wars, to what extent can we understand neoconservatism as a Jewish movement? I know that this is a thin ice skating perhaps for you.
No, it's not thin ice. It's thick ice.
Yes, to what extent is the Israeli intelligence community utilizing this neocon?
Yeah, it goes way back. In 1862, Moses Hess, who Karl Marx and others called the communist rabbi, wrote a book called Roman Jerusalem, in which he advocated Zionism. Moses Hess worked with Karl Marx on drafting the Communist Manifesto. He represented Karl Marx at numerous communist meetings during that time. He differed from the other communists, though, in that he not only wanted to bring down Christian Europe, he was afraid that if they simply brought about the collapse of Christian Europe, that the Jews would be affected, too. And so his proposal was, we need another place outside of Europe where we can preserve our communist values. And his 1862 book on this subject was the original proposal for Zionism. He's buried in Israel now and is held in high esteem. But basically, Zionism is communism. The difference is that for the communist Jews, they wanted a place that wouldn't be affected by the society they tore down in Europe. So it's very very thick ice. The connections between communism and Zionism go back to the beginning days of Karl Marx.
And isn't it ironic? I mean, I never cease to be struck by the paradox in this, that so many American Republican quote-unquote conservatives and so many people in the so-called Christian right in the United States are not aware of any of this. And basically have found themselves in a political and an ideological alliance with something that would seem to be a contradiction in terms.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, it is so bad that the Mujahideen Khalq actually was able to hold one of their annual meetings in Constitution Hall of the Daughters of the American Revolution. On April 14th, 2005, and members of Congress came by and spoke and described the Rajavis as like George Washington.
Well, that's certainly very impressive, isn't it? we'll be back with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote to pick up on that incredible analogy when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton is with us today. We have been discussing the Mujahideen-e Khalq, or the MEK. Who are Massoud and Miriam Rajavi? What is the history of the MEK, dating back to its origins in Iran in 1965? What is this Islamic Marxist organization? How has it had so many changing alliances with so many different nation states and organizations over these last 40-some-odd years? Why is the American Pentagon and the Israeli intelligence community and the American neoconservatives suddenly enamored of this very dubious organization? We've been learning a great deal on this front from Dr. Foote this morning. And, of course, also take a look at what Ed Blanche has to say on this subject in the June 2009 The Middle East magazine. You can buy that on your newsstands. That, of course, is not the current edition, so you might need to go back to editor Pat Lancaster there in London to get the original Blanche piece on the MEK, but it's well worth your time in terms of understanding a very amoral, interventionistic, in some cases resorting to terrorism foreign policy on the part of the neoconservatives, who, as Dr. Foote points out this morning, have a disproportionate influence in both of the major political parties in the United States, and presumably that's being reflected in what's happening in the American national security establishment as well. Dr. Foote, getting back to this business of Massoud and Miriam Rajavi, and of course this absurd comparison of the Rajavis to George Washington. Why, in your judgment, would the French government be giving political asylum to these people? That's always amazed me.
Well, there have been many suggested reasons why countries do this. One was the belief that if you let terrorists operate in your own country, then they won't attack your own country. But the French, and it's not just the French, I mean, the MEK runs a television station out of England, for example. Even though they used to be on the list of terrorist organizations in the United Kingdom until recently. We in this country let the organization operate in office in the National Press Building for more than 10 years under the name of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And it wasn't until December 2001 that we closed it down and the FBI raided the home of the head of the organization in Washington named Ali Reza Jafarzadeh, and they took away boxes of all of his documents of dealings with members of Congress. Since he was out of a job, he got a new job as a foreign analyst at Fox News Channel. So you have all these people who pretend to be Republicans and conservatives watching a member of supporter of a communist terrorist organization all the time on the Fox News Channel. I have tried to get copies of those documents. I went to the FBI and I said, I'm going to pay for copies of everything in those boxes. And they said, sorry, you can't have it under the Freedom of Information Act because we have ongoing court cases against them right now.
Yeah, as well as a lot of other ongoing things we won't talk about either. Yeah, I tell you, you know, you get into this stuff with the American public, and it never ceases to amaze me. You know, you mentioned Fox News, Dr. Foote. I'm looking at a publication emanating out of Canada called Global Outlook. I'd never heard of this until the other day. Ian Woods and Barry Zwicker are the editors of this publication. People can find it at www.globaloutlook.ca. And, of course, it has a lot of amazing stuff in it, including an article by Andrew Sullivan on who it is that owns and finances and controls the American news media. And, boy, I tell you, the section in here it analyzes every one of these global consortiums in terms of their board membership. And when it comes to Fox News, of course, which is owned by News Corp, let me run this by you, Dr. Foote, quoting from page 182 of Global Outlook, and this is issue number 13, the one that's currently on the newsstand, Andrew G. Marshall's piece entitled The Militarization of the Media. Listen to this. News Corp, according to Marshall, now we come to one of the most infamous and interesting media conglomerates in the world, News Corp, owned by Rupert Murdoch. The board of directors of News Corp is the most elite-controlled and co-opted group I have come across, says Marshall. For starters, one board member is Viet Dinh, the former assistant attorney general of the U.S. and chief architect of the Patriot Act. Dr. Roderick I. Eddington, another board member, is also chairman of Australia and New Zealand J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and who also sits on the board of Rio Tinto PLC, a mining company. Then there's Andrew S.B. Knight, a director of Rothschild Investment Trust, an arm of the incredibly powerful Rothschild banking family, formerly on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, a former council member of Chatham House, the leading British think tank, as well as being a former overseer of the Hoover Institution, another leading think tank. These are just a few of the people with connections at News Corp, which seem to lead directly to the American neoconservative movement. When we come back with Dr. Foote, we'll continue this conversation. This is Mark Dankost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined this morning by Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. We've been talking about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the MEK, sometimes called the MKO, or Mujahideen-e-Khalq Organization. Who are these people? What is their history? Why is the United States doing business with these folks, given what we now understand of their history and ideology? We've been enlightened on much of this morning by Dr. Foote, whose very insightful analysis and personal knowledge of all of this, in some cases, should raise as many questions for many of us as it answers in regard to what our government is doing in that part of the world. I'm going to quote from my own essay on what Ed Blanche had to say this in the Middle East magazine back in June of 2009. The Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or People's Holy Warriors, is an Islamic Marxist terror organization which assisted in implementing the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, was subsequently involved in guerrilla warfare operations against the very Iranian mullahs they helped bring to power. They fought on the side of Saddam Hussein for 8 years in the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988, and now, according to Barry O'Connell and Gareth Porter, is working with Jewish neoconservatives and Israeli intelligence in planning false intelligence on Iran's nuclear program with the American national security state and Western news media, itching for a confrontation between Tehran and Tel Aviv, even as it now possesses an adversarial role with the very regime in Baghdad installed by Mr. Bush's war. Confused? You should be, I say in this essay. The global international establishment can't figure out what its position on the MEK is supposed to be either. Hence, according to Blanche, Saudi Arabia's General Intelligence Directorate is trying to find the organization a new place to live. The U.S. State Department continues to maintain a place for the MEK on its terrorism blacklist, as does the European Union. American and Jewish neoconservatives in the defense and intelligence communities of the United States advocate an alliance with the MEK against Tehran, even as Britain's Court of Appeal ruled in May of 2008 that the MEK, quote, should not be deemed a terrorist organization, unquote. Dr. Foote, here's one for you to interact with. In the last paragraph of my essay, which is online, I mentioned that according to Blanche, Ed Blanche, of the Beirut correspondent of the Middle East magazine, Israeli intelligence and the Pentagon are pursuing an anti-Tehran alliance with the MEK. Even as that's happening, Tehran, according to Ed Blanche, offered the United States in December of 2003 several senior al-Qaeda operatives in exchange for MEK commanders under U.S. control at Camp Ashraf. The U.S. could have had Saif al-Adel and Mahfouz ul-Walid, also known as Abu Hafs the Mauritanian, even as it avenged the deaths of murdered American personnel from the days of Pahlavi Iran in the 1970s. I asked rhetorically, why was there no deal? And I conclude by saying, better ask the Mossad, Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Kenneth R. Timmerman, and the Project for the New American Century crowd. Do you think that that's a fair analysis?
Yes, it is. We've been offered a lot more than that. You go back to when Bill Clinton was president of the United States. Iran offered a billion-dollar-plus petroleum deal to Conoco. And Clinton went to the Waldorf Astoria to a meeting of the World Congress of Jews and announced that he would not permit the deal to go through. We have been offered many things over the years. I'm amazed. If I were a leader of Iran, I would not be interested in cooperating with people who chop off heads and go in and blow up religious places and so forth. We have some truly sick people who support the MEK. But yeah, you're right. There have been numerous opportunities. I mean, why don't we have an embassy in Iran? Some of the former hostages, including Bruce Langan, who was in charge of the group there, said we should have relations. Why aren't we doing trade with Iran? All of these things are possible. Why are we letting these neoconservatives and these lovers of communism try to take over a country?
Yes, and as you point out, much as they've taken over the Republican Party and much as they have taken over many of these neoconservative news outlets, I have mentioned on the air before, going back to Dr. E. Michael Jones, who has his PhD from Temple University, and I was reading a piece that he wrote quite some time ago in his Culture Wars magazine, showing how it was that there was strong Jewish and CIA and Israeli intelligence involvement in Bill Buckley's National Review magazine going back to the 1950s, and that arguably National Review and Bill Buckley may have paved the way for the much larger takeover that we're now talking about in regard to both the Republican Party and the American National Security Establishment. If that's fair, I find myself wondering at this juncture, how do we get our government back? I'm kind of a Ron Paul, Pat Buchanan type Republican on the right. I have a lot of friends on the left who see our foreign policy in the same terms that I do. And we have many talks into the night about this. How, given the financial power and the media control of this element, how do we resist this?
Well, I voted for Ron Paul in the 2008 presidential primary myself, and was listed in under academicians for Ron Paul. I think the problem lies partly with the churches in this country. As I mentioned earlier about the success of the KGB with the World Council of Churches, and you've mentioned John Hagee. I mean, how is it possible for Christians to be so stupid as to believe the thoughts of these communist leaders? The Israelis tried to push it as far as possible. I don't know if you remember the flap about the dual covenant, where Hagee and the late Falwell were asked, "Do you guys support the dual covenant?" And they said no. So, and the Israeli press was all over that, saying, "Look at that! They think we're going to go to hell, but they support us anyway."
Yes, and in accompanying that dual covenant controversy at the time, which I'm very familiar with because as a Lutheran pastor, and I'm working on a thesis right now dealing with neoconservatism as it relates to false interpretations of Scripture, I also am amazed, and this is the other element that terrifies me, that whether you're looking at Hagee and Falwell and Pat Robertson and people of that ilk on the American right, or you're looking at some of the wider War for Empire groups, neocon groups, and both of the major political parties, there seems to be a sense with these people that war is desirable and that mass murder is an effective tool as long as it's being used in what these groups define as the right people. And then, of course, when it comes to the Christian right, there's also the question of, gee, you know, we need to pursue policies that will facilitate the development of Armageddon-like conditions in the world in order that Jesus might return. I mean, when we think about some of this lunacy, it's perilously close to, in my view, to what undergirds the current official ideology of the United States government, especially in the Middle East.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And unfortunately, it's made even worse by those in the Jewish camp who want a Messiah to come back and rule the world. And it's made even tougher because you have certain groups in even Iran who are waiting for the 12th Imam to come back when the conditions are bad enough. So I like to think of it as some boys sitting around a tank of gas tossing matches, each one hoping to be the one that gets to blow up. So, I mean, these are dangerous times.
Very dangerous times, and it seems to me that when, say, you look at the overlap of a certain brand of Christian eschatology with the 12th Mahdi eschatology that you cite within the Shiite Islamic faith, and then, of course, you look at the Israeli Temple Mount folks and so forth, and then, of course, not to mention the role of multinational corporations in all of this mess when it comes to controlling, or some people would say stealing, others' natural resources. I see the emergence of a very dangerous dynamic in political discourse in this country as well as in the conduct of our foreign policy. And it gets back to this Manichaean dynamic. We're good. They're evil. There should be no discussion, no negotiation, no recognition of nuances, no recognition of mutual interests, even though we'll never be on the same page together. Is that the way that you read this?
Well, the way I look at it is go back to the communist takeover of Russia. There is a wonderful article at an Israeli website called Stalin's Jews, where it talks about a man named Yagoda, Yagoda, and how he killed more than 10 million Christians. When the communists first took over, their goal was, well, we'll kill everyone, every Christian minister and every Christian we can get our hands on, and that will solve the problem. Well, they found out that didn't work. So then, as I noted, they decided, well, we will finance them. And so later on, when Khrushchev and later leaders came along, they decided who the Christian leaders would be in the Soviet Union. They were all on the KGB payroll. And then they started financing it, organizations to, Christian organizations to take over the world through liberation theology. And so if we don't have, Christian ministers out there explaining what liberation theology is, and they had an opportunity last year when you had President Obama's minister talking about black liberation theology. If you don't have the rest of the Christian ministers in this country explaining to their members what liberation theology is, then we're doomed. If people don't know the difference and can be duped by this stuff, there's no hope.
Yeah, and again, when you start getting into this, I was first exposed to liberation theology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California, a generation ago when I was at Pacific Lutheran Seminary before transferring to an evangelical school in the Midwest. And to me, as we try to unpack liberation theology this morning, and all of its neo-Marxist implications, both for the church as well as for secular government, I again am struck by paradox that in many respects you see a situation where the ideology of John Hagee and Christians United for Israel and his cornerstone church ministry and so forth find some degree of overlap with these neo-Marxists in the liberation theological camp, as expressed from time to time through outlets like the World Council of Churches. This is truly strange business.
Let me give you an example in the Christian field. You know, the MEK has been described as a blend of Islam and communism. Well, nonsense. Professor Abrahamian, a Marxist professor in this country, who's also an Armenian-Iranian, revealed in his book, The Iranian Mojahedin, that there were secret meetings between the MEK leaders and Ayatollah Khomeini in Iraq from 72 to 74. And Khomeini would ask them questions, the most basic questions about Islam. They couldn't answer it. He'd ask them, well, which books by Islamic religious leaders have you read? They hadn't read any. What the communists do is they go into a holy book. Let's take a Christian example. One of the favorite quotes from the Christian Bible is Luke chapter 1, verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And they look for things like this and say, see, God wants you to be a revolutionary. And they do the same thing with the Koran for the MEK. You look for a few quotes here and there and say, well, see, the Prophet Muhammad wanted you to be a communist revolutionary, but they don't use the word communist. And if people who claim to be religious can be duped by these communists, there is no hope.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. And again, the paradoxes abound. The infiltration of this neo-Marxist, neo-conservative Trotskyite ideology in places where one would not dream it would be found. Thinking of the Scoop Jackson, what was the Scoop Jackson wing of the Democratic Party, what has now become the mainstreaming of neoconservatism in the Republican Party through many of these Israeli-affiliated leaders and think tanks, people like Timmerman and Richard Pearl and so forth come to mind in this regard. And then, of course, dealing with, once again, this whole question of the Christian right and the fact that they apparently have a shortage of political education that enables them to understand the larger history and all of the moral and theological implications of these kinds of connections. I'm looking, Dr. Foote, at your own website at Fullerton in regard to your background and so forth. I notice in the California Republican, volume 33, number 10, the March-April 2003 edition, pages 11 and 12, you have a very brief essay entitled Republican Useful Idiots. I think some of our people who listen to RBN need to hear some of this. What inspired that little piece?
Well, I used to be a member of the California Republican Assembly. In fact, they endorsed me when I ran for state assembly. However, I was totally disgusted when they gave the Patriots Award to former Congressman Tom Tancredo, who is one of the strongest supporters of the MEK. Even after leaving Congress, he continues to speak in support of them. And so I resigned my membership from the California Republican Assembly, and they published this one article, this brief letter of mine where I was criticizing the MEK and people who were stooges for the MEK and saying it's a communist organization. And yet they give an award to one of the top supporters in Congress of the MEK, who also spoke at that Daughters of the American Revolution meeting in April 2005. So there, here is a supposedly conservative group that can be duped by the MEK. And the MEK has other supporters, too, on the Democratic side. Bob Filner, Democrat from San Diego County, California.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back for the final minutes of our conversation with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton about the Mujahideen-e Khalq. Stay tuned.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our broadcast with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. We've been talking about the Mujahideen-e Khalq, the MEK. Of course, we will be posting a description of this show at the RBN archival portion of our website. It will contain links to all of Dr. Foote's websites, as well as a link to the website of the Habilian Association in Iran at www.habilian.com. There will also be a link to my own recent essay on the MEK based on Ed Blanche's essay in the June 2009 Middle East magazine. Dr. Foote, we only have a couple of minutes left. With all of the things that were publicized in regard to political unrest and violence in Iran in the wake of the presidential elections over there, do you have any information and or suspicions about MEK involvement in some of those disturbances?
Iran, in which I appear frequently talking about political issues, but Press TV played what they said were telephone conversations between an MEK leader in England and an MEK supporter in Iran, saying that, please, we need you to set buses and gasoline stations on fire, and would you do it during this time frame, because we have agreements from major networks such as CNN that they will show any burnings that you can produce. They will show it on their televisions. They want it in this time slot. So the Iranian government has a lot of documentation of what's really happening there. And there are strong connections. I mean, this is nonsense about democracy when we have MEK terrorists in the country. I mean, who's going to burn buses and gasoline stations and claim to be pro-democracy?
Well, that's right. And what's very disturbing to me about all of this, Philip Giraldi of the American Conservative, Pat Buchanan's magazine, has pretty much documented to my satisfaction as a Middle Eastern expert, speaking of Giraldi here, that the American CIA and the British MI6 have been involved ongoingly in Azerbaijan province in Iran. They've been in Khuzestan province, in Balochistan province, in supporting all kinds of activities that, frankly, should be fairly defined as acts of war on our part, very dangerous activities, and underscoring warlike and illegal activities according to international law, in my view. I would suspect that the MEK has been a part of at least a little bit of that when it comes to both the British MI6 and the American CIA.
Well, that's been documented. I mean, the head of Jandallah even revealed the email exchanges between the MEK, in which the MEK would alert the Jandallah when certain Iranians would be traveling in different parts of Iran so they could kill them. So there is cooperation between these American-funded terrorist groups.
Yes, I think there were several incidents that involved bomb blasts that killed innocent people on buses in Balochistan province, where there was a very strong suggestion that there was MEK and Western intelligence involvement in those atrocities.
They've also been very active in the Kurdish front with the PKK. Both of these organizations are supported by Filner, whose father was a Communist Party candidate for Congress in this country and who was the major funder of Martin Luther King in his civil rights movement.
Absolutely amazing. I'd like to have you back again on, to discuss some of these continued links in this spider-like network. Ann Singleton will join me next week for the second hour of my show from London, England, talking about her own experiences in the Mujahideen-e Khalq and how she got out of that organization. I'd like to thank Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote for being on this morning, coming to us from Cal State Fullerton University, and we will have him back on the show, I trust, again at some point. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll continue our MEK discussion next week with Ann Singleton, coming to you live from London, England. God bless. See you next week.
With recent internet.